Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done today. And just as we look into the subject of prayer, I'll confess sometimes I feel like maybe I shouldn't even have gone there. We trust you, Lord, to open your word and teach us. We trust that the message today is your message.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing it with us in your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Prayer to me, I don't know if I'm unique. I don't think so. But prayer to me has always seemed a bit of a mystery. Because He's God, right? Just like we're going to read today. He already knows what I need. He already knows what I want. And He already knows what He's going to do about it.
Right.
So, sometimes I have struggled a little bit over the years with, what am I doing? I can remember back to being a child. If you were raised in a home that acknowledged the Lord in any way, you might have been taught to say little prayers as you were a kid. I remember saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food." And then eventually we might learn to tack things on, "God bless Mommy and Daddy." And we make simple requests as children. Sometimes maybe we even got answers to those simple requests. I'm told that I did. I don't remember. Well, I take that back. I do remember. And I can't explain this to this day because I can't do it today. But I have always suffered from allergies all my life. Not debilitating, but just a constant annoyance. But some things I absolutely can't be around. Cats is one of those things. I cannot be around. They absolutely mess me up. But when I was little, I remember praying, "God, please take that away from me." And for a while, I didn't have any problem. I used to go to the neighbors that had cats and play with their cats. Didn't have any problem. What happened? Well, only God knows. I'll take that up with you when I get there. But I think God answers those prayers because they do come from a childlike faith. They do come from the humility, which is really what that childlike faith is about. If you look at the context, they're asking, in one of the accounts, they're asking, "Well, who's going to be the greatest?" He takes a child and he says, "Unless you enter like one of these little children, you can't get in."
Right.
And it's about the humility of the child. It's about the recognition that He is God and we're not.
Right.
He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. So we grow up and sometimes we don't get our prayers answered. We start to ask questions. And sometimes our newfound understanding only confuses us further because we're trying to make sense of what we think we understand. And we lose that wonder. We lose that childlike humility and understanding that He's just God and we're just not. And we ask and we trust Him. And we trust Him whatever the answer is that He gives us. But prayer is a wonder. If you stop and think about it, prayer is a wonder. Have you contemplated? And we don't see God. We don't typically hear God in the audible. Our physical senses typically don't perceive God. And so I think we tend to forget just who it is that we're dealing with. We're talking to the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, a being that is so vast and so powerful that all He had to do was speak and all of this came into existence. If you consider who that is, how awesome. And yet, He came down and became became like one of us. Little, insignificant humanity. Because you know, we're not insignificant. We're not insignificant because our significance comes from Him.
Right.
And He came down and He was crucified and He died. And He rose again so that we would have that relationship. We would have that open avenue. That's why we can pray at all. That's awesome. That's too awesome for words. And so, with that background, it might matter a little bit what He Himself had to say about prayer. We know that He spent a lot of time in it Himself. And so we all know what we call the Lord's Prayer. Most of us can probably recite it. And probably have. In fact, I go in every month to a meeting of the American Council of the Blind. And one of our traditions is that we recite the Lord's Prayer. And you know what? I may have an opinion about how effective that is, but I am thrilled that we do it. Because it says that we acknowledge that there is a Lord.
That's right.
Praise God that we can still do that.
Amen.
That it hasn't been driven out of the organization. Some have considered it to be a model prayer. And I've done it that way. I've heard sermons on it. And I've prayed and sort of had that going in my head and try to kind of follow along with the ideas and the concepts there. That's not just not a bad thing to do. I think it is a model. But I think it's more a model for what goes on in our heart. There's a similar prayer in Luke chapter 11, but it's not exactly the same. So it must not be something that He expected us to recite verbatim, or they'd both be the same.
Right.
The disciples asked Him, in that case, teach us to pray. And so He gives a shorter version of what we have in Matthew. And I think that the order of the prayer is significant. I think it indicates the priority. Because the first thing it says is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, if you use the King James or some of the older translations. Holy is Your name. The recognition that He comes first. Recognition of who He is. And His kingdom and His will comes before anything else. Then we get our needs, which it says that He knows anyway.
Amen.
I think it's interesting that forgiveness comes at this point in the prayer. And one would think that it would come first because you're supposed to get your sin out of the way, right?
Yeah.
But I think that lends itself to the understanding that this is about the attitude that's in your heart. Because it's only after this time that you've already spent acknowledging His way and His will and His holiness that He is able to speak to your spirit and maybe point out those things. I think the things that you already know are sins, yeah, you've dealt with those and you repented of. But now we're getting to the point where He's pointing out those things that maybe you didn't think about. And so it's the process of sanctification. It's the process of bringing us closer. And finally, the last thing in the prayer is that prayer for protection. It seems to be the lowest priority. And then He comes back, though, to forgiveness again, pointing out that it's absolutely imperative that we forgive others. In fact, the way that phrase presupposes forgiveness of others. So let's read it now. We're going to use the passage in Matthew because He gives us some other things about prayer before and after the actual, what we call the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to start in chapter 6, and I'm going to start back in verse 5, and then read out of the Lexham English Bible. I just like the way it reads in this particular case. So if you wonder why there's differences, that's one. the text that I'm reading from will be up on the screen. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets in order that they may be seen by people. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. But whenever you pray, enter into your inner room and shut the door and pray to your Father who lives in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But when you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the pagans, for they think that because of their many words, they'll be heard. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Therefore, you pray in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, may your name be treated as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive people their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people, neither will your Father, forgive your sins. Jesus, as he begins this teaching on prayer, which is really part of a bigger teaching, he's really been talking about the attitude of your heart all the way through what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is just, I believe, part of the same structure. He's really speaking to us about what should be in our hearts. And so he starts his opening with remarks with, don't be praying so that other people can see you and think how holy you are. I just struggled with this a little bit. It seemed like a long time ago. But I was asked to give the invocation at the American Council of the Blind National Convention that met here in Dallas. And I thought about this. Lord, how should I approach public prayer? And he brought to my attention the fact that Jesus himself prayed publicly. Well, if Jesus himself prayed publicly, obviously he's not saying don't ever pray in public. Right. Again, he's talking about your heart. In fact, when Jesus prayed in public, it was, I think, always, I didn't go through and study this for sure, but it seemed always to be for the benefit of others. In fact, he said as much in John chapter 11 when he prayed. He said, I thank you. This is in John, it's not up there, but it's, if you want to reference it, it's John chapter 11, 41 and 42. He says, I'm thankful that you heard me. And I'm not saying this because I'm saying this for the benefit of those people around me that are hearing me. I know that you always hear me. What is your motivation? That's the real key. Not whether or not other people can hear you pray. And then he goes on to talk about many words. The word being babble. Or speak repetitiously. And it says the pagans do that. But depending on your background, sometimes we can do that too. We've been taught that to recite different things. And I know in the Catholic tradition, I'm not intimately familiar with it, but when they go through the penance, they say, say this however many times. And that will absolve you. But that's not how God works. In fact, it says that God knows what you need even before you ask. So just be real with it. That's all that Jesus, I think, is really saying. Just be real. Just open up your heart and talk to Him. That's what He wants. And yes, those private times are very important. Those times when it's just you and the Lord. And I dare say that very few of us spend enough time that way. I know that I haven't. Now let's look at the prayer. First thing I notice is that he addresses the Father in heaven. And I looked because I've heard teaching on this and I really wanted to understand. I did some searches of my own and I cannot find, I don't really have time to get into a teaching on the Trinity here, but I cannot find in Scripture where anyone other than the Heavenly Father is addressed. Of course, when Jesus was here on earth, people talked to him, obviously, and petitioned him. But Jesus himself spoke to Father. When he instructed us to pray, he tells us to pray to Father. And I don't find any other address, any other forms of address throughout the New Testament. Does that mean that it's wrong to address the Holy Spirit or wrong to address Jesus? No, they're all God. They're all of one mind. And I really, and God is not out there with a ledger making sure that you get every little point right before he responds to you. That's not how he operates. He's looking at your heart. Does that mean that there's not a better way to do things? Does it not mean that he has a way that he would like for us to do things? Absolutely. But it's not about keeping the rules. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They had all these rules you had to keep. If you didn't keep all the rules, you had a problem. But there does seem to be something there. And the reason why I bring it up is because I have heard teaching about the personalities and different ways that we interact with different parts of the Trinity. There are roles. But all I see in Scripture, as far as who we pray to, is Heavenly Father. And through the agency of the Holy Spirit, He hears us and He speaks to us. But then it says, holy, hallowed be your name, if you read the King James Version. May your name be treated as holy. In other words, remember who it is you're talking to. That goes back to the recognition of who it is. The Almighty Creator. The Holy God. The Perfect. And part of that treating Him as holy, if you look back in Exodus, and I meant to look up this reference and forgot to do it. If you remember when Moses was told that you're not going to enter the promised land, God said, you didn't treat me as holy before the Israelites at the rock. If you remember the story, he was told to speak to the rock, but he got mad because of the attitude of the Israelites. And so it became about him. He says, shall we get you water out of this rock? And he started getting the rock. And God, in His mercy, went ahead and gave water. But then He spoke to Moses privately. He said, you messed up, buddy. You're not going into the promised land. Just because you didn't treat me as holy, didn't submit, you made it about you instead of about me. That's the danger. Submission and obedience. The Heavenly Father has always got to be the most important thing in our lives. And when we pray about His kingdom coming. His will being done. Jesus is going to reemphasize that a little bit later. That passage that we all know a few verses down in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And it's His will, His kingdom that we all have to be about first and foremost. But then He does say, ask for what you need. That's perfectly acceptable. But I think there's a key here because He says, give us today our daily bread. In other words, our prayer, our acknowledgement of our need for Him says in another passage, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. Every day, we need to walk in this recognition that we need Him, that He is our provider. It's a daily prayer. It's a daily prayer. It's a daily recognition. Then He says, forgive. Then He says, forgive us. Forgive us our debts. We need forgiveness. The way this is worded, it presupposes that we've already, it says we have forgiven our debtors. In other words, you don't even come to Him without first being in forgiveness of those who have wronged you. Is that easy? No, that's not easy. It's a decision. And I know every one of us have had that somewhere in our lives. And it's a decision that you will have to make over and over and over again. And I can remember a particular situation in my life, and I actually went before God and I said, God, I don't feel it, but I know that I've got to. So I'm going to say the words, and I'm asking you to help me make it real. And over time, He began to make it real. That's all He's looking for, the attitude of your heart. Your emotions come along eventually. Might take a while. Then He says, don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Your translation might say evil. The Greek there is the evil. So that's why some put it as the evil one. Now there's something interesting though about this particular passage. Do not is not there. If you read it without do not, it would say, lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is that about? Well, we all know this. We all know the testing comes. He told us as much. He said, you're going to be tested. So you're going to have trouble. But our prayer is for the ability to overcome. And He said that He would give that to us. He said, you're not going to have any temptation, but there's not a way to escape. So we pray for His protection and for the ability to overcome when those things come our way. Now, if you're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, you might be wondering, how come they left that apart? Because we didn't read, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let me tell you why. It's not in some of the manuscripts. It is thought that that edition was a scribal edition because it was a common phrase that was used in worship to God at the time. And somebody got a little excited and wrote that in there in worship to God. But it wasn't necessarily in the original. And that's why some translations leave it out. That's why this one left it out. Is it a big deal? No, certainly. Certainly it's a true statement. The kingdom and the power and the glory belong to God forever and ever and ever. Jesus then makes the final remarks. Going back again to forgiveness. He may have put it lower on the list, but He comes back to it and says, this is important. He's emphasizing the point. You have got to forgive. And why is that so important? It's so important because He forgave us. It's so important because He forgave us more than we could ever forgive anyone else. The debt that anyone owes us, the wrong that anyone has done to us, is nothing in comparison to the wrong that we have done to God.
I know.
Again, He paid the ultimate price.
Yes, He did.
To make that right.
Amen.
That's why it's so important. We make prayer complicated. But really, prayer is very simple. All you need to do is talk to God. He loves us. He wants to talk with us. Am I there? No, I'm not there. I still struggle with it. But none of us should. We've made it so difficult, but not. He just wants us to have a relationship with Him. And if we'll take the time, and if we'll make the effort, you know what it says? It says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Prayer comes from our heart. We need to put Him first. We need to seek Him first. And when we do that, we know that He's going to hear us.
Amen.
The form is secondary. This was not a liturgy that we need to recite. It's not a formula that we need to follow. And it's not the sum of all prayer. There are lots of examples of people praying the scripture that don't follow this model. It's only meant, I shouldn't say only, it is meant primarily to direct our hearts to Him and show us the attitude that we need to have when we pray. We're told to be devoted to prayer, Romans 12:12. We're told to pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You see these on our PowerPoints from time to time. We're told even to pray for our enemies. That's in that same sermon back in 5:44. We're told to pray for our leaders in 2 Timothy 1:2. We're told to pray for the sick in James 5:14-16. And we're also told, and that was, I noticed that was on our slides today. We didn't plan that. It just was on there. I guess God planned it. That we don't know how to pray. A lot of times we really don't know what the Lord's will is. He says that's when the Holy Spirit steps in and helps us to pray. And there's more to be said on that. We'll have to have another session on that.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is there to help us.
Yes.
And our prayers are answered. And one other thing we're told. Our prayers are answered when our will gets in sync with His will. Mm-hmm. 1 John 5:14-15 says, when we ask anything according to His will, that's a very important phrase, it will be done. It's hard for us to get to that point. And there's a lot of things that we would think would be His will. I would think it would be His will for Linda to be healed. I would think it would be His will for me to be healed, as far as that goes.
Yes.
In my case, He's shown me that His will involves me being just exactly the way I am.
But we love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm totally false.
Okay.
Praise God.
Never mind.
When our will is in sync with his will,
that's right. That's
when our prayers are answered. Sometimes it's hard to know what that is. That's why we need to spend time with Him.
Amen. That's true.
I pray that there's been some value in sharing this with you today. It's something that I have been trying to understand a good part of my life. I keep coming back to it, keep trying to understand it. I hope we're maybe a little closer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pray and give us the opportunity to have more prayer if we need it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you did show us the way. Thank you that you came, and not only did you come and give yourself for us, but before you made that ultimate sacrifice, you spent time to teach us, to show us the way that we should walk, to show us what the attitude of our hearts needed to be. But essentially, as a human being on this earth, show us how we're supposed to live. Thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. You have given us everything that we need. As we go forward, Lord, I just pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, prompt us and encourage encourage us to spend that time, to have that relationship with you that you want us to have, so that we're ready. There's so many things that you have called us to do that we absolutely cannot do without your Holy Spirit showing us the way to do it. Because we don't have your knowledge. We don't have your understanding. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.